This morning on WCHL, one candidate for Orange County Sheriff says he's most concerned about low voter turnout.
If the numbers dropped and they weren't proportional to the vote, that we'd be, you know, beat.
We'll check in on the latest early voting numbers. This is the second hottest week of 2014. That means extra attention should be given to your cats and dogs.
What pet owners might think is a safe span of time, you know, I'm just going to run into the store for a few minutes, can even that quickly be fatal for your pet.
And speaking of pets, local animal shelters are in the middle of their busiest week after the July 4th holiday. We'll tell you why. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill cover of traffic and weather together. And in WCHL Championship Sports, Carolina Men's Soccer adds a powerhouse coach and recruiter. And
who would believe that Kyle Seager turned out better than Dustin Ackley?
That's this morning in our Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
7:07 at WCHL, 68 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. High today in the low 90s. Partly sunny, scattered showers and thunderstorms possible in the afternoon, about a 30% chance of rain. The second day of early voting saw a dip, but nearly 200 additional people cast their ballots for Orange County's next sheriff. Charles Blackwood and David Caldwell are in a runoff for the position because no Republicans filed before the May 6th primary. One of those men will take the place of Lindy Pendergrass, who's been the sheriff of Orange County for 32 years. Only the Board of Elections headquarters is taking votes in the early voting process because of the historically low turnout for runoffs. All 44 precincts will be open around Orange County on Election Day itself, which is Tuesday, July 15th. Now, the polls are open each day this week from 9 to 5, and on Saturday from 9 to 1. Election Day itself, Tuesday, July 15th. All the polls open from 6:30 a.m. until 7:30 p.m. that day. The Orange County Board of Elections is located at 208 South Cameron Street in Hillsborough, next to Orange County Financial Services. Early voting numbers get posted daily by 9 a.m. Orange County Sheriff candidate Charles Blackwood says low voter turnout is his biggest concern as the July 15th runoff election approaches. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has the story.
With a second primary less than a week away, Orange County Sheriff candidate Charles Blackwood said he's worried about low voter turnout.
We had a very large concern that if the numbers dropped and they weren't proportional to the vote, that we'd be, you know, beat. And we've heard the saying all through this election that good people lose in runoffs. So it's just a tremendous sense of urgency in this go-round.
In May's Democratic primary, Blackwood finished first out of six candidates. He received 30% of the vote, but 40% was needed to avoid a runoff. Second-place finisher David Caldwell requested the runoff after final totals showed he came in just 64 votes shy of taking the lead. Now Blackwood says his plan headed into the July primary is to meet and talk with as many voters as possible. He's also been looking to the other four candidates for support. Since May, third-place finisher and former colleague Larry Fawcett has endorsed Blackwood, as has longtime incumbent Sheriff Lindy Pendergrass. Orange County voters cast slightly more than 5,700 ballots in the early voting period leading up to the May primary. Though turnout is expected to be substantially lower for the second primary, Blackwood said he's encouraged that approximately 500 people have cast ballots so far.
You know, I'm in it for the Super Bowl, not for one game. So you have to look at the early voting every day as a game. And you win each of those games every day, and then you win the Super Bowl.
With no Republican candidates running in November, next week's primary will likely decide the race. We'll hear from challenger David Caldwell tomorrow. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The 93-year-old lead plaintiff in a lawsuit challenging North Carolina's new voting restrictions recounted in court how she was forced to take a literacy test as a young woman registering to vote. The Winston-Salem Journal reported that Rosanelle Eaton testified on Tuesday in U.S. District Court. Eaton said she was 19 years old when her mother took her to the Franklin County Courthouse to register to vote. She was directed to read aloud the preamble of the U.S. Constitution. After doing so successfully, she became one of the first blacks declared eligible to vote in Franklin County. The Republican-backed law being challenged by the U.S. Justice Department and an array of civic groups requires voters to present a photo ID, end same-day registration, and trims the early voting period by a week. A former UNC football player will testify today during a U.S. Senate committee hearing, which is meant to check on the well-being of college athletes. The News and Observer reports that Devin Ramsey, a fullback who graduated from Carolina in 2012, is scheduled to testify today along with a former Florida State football player and Rhodes Scholar, Myron Roll. NCAA President Mark Emmert, civil rights historian and journalist Taylor Branch, and Richard Southall, who previously led the College Sports Research Institute at UNC and now works at the University of South Carolina. Southall is also listed in former UNC academic advisor Mary Willingham's research that led to the most recent chapter of the academic scandal at Carolina. Ramsey was declared ineligible by the NCAA for the 2010 season after finding he received improper financial benefits from agents and improper help from a tutor. However, further investigation revealed that Ramsey did not receive any financial benefits, and he only received help on a draft of a paper in which he was given suggestions on how to improve areas of the work. He returned to the football field the next season for one game, in which he suffered a torn ACL and MCL in his left knee in the season-opening victory against James Madison. He was given an additional year of eligibility in 2012, but the knee injury turned out to be career-ending. Mary Willingham was in Washington, D.C. last week to speak with members of Congress. However, she told WCHL she did not have any hearings scheduled yet, and she does not appear on any witness list at this time. The U.S. Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation will start its hearings at 2:30 this afternoon. For more on the hearing, you can read the story on our website, chapelboro.com. Certainly more later today on the afternoon and evening news with Aaron Keck. House and Senate budget leaders made little progress over teacher pay and North Carolina lottery advertising during a public negotiation session. The Senate offered yesterday to remove a provision in its state government spending plan requiring teachers to give up their tenure to get proposed average pay raises of more than 11%. House Republicans have offered average raises of 5%. A House budget writer says the Senate plan still eliminates funding for thousands of teacher assistants to help pay for higher raises. The two chambers also failed to reach an agreement on lottery ads. The House plan doubles the cap on advertising expenses, but still keeps restrictions on ad content. It would only generate $30 million in extra revenue. The two sides are expected to meet again today. As North Carolina hits a midway point of one of the hottest weeks of 2014 to date, pet owners have an even greater responsibility of keeping their furry friends cool and safe from hypothermia.
So what pet owners might think is a safe span of time, you know, I'm just going to run into the store for a few minutes, can even that quickly be fatal for your pet.
That's Sharon Ziegler, manager for Triangle Veterinary Referral Hospital. She says the hospital often gets cases of heat stroke and animals left in cars, and many of those animals end up dying even after aggressive treatment. Ziegler told WCHL owners should rethink leaving their pets in vehicles while on quick runs during the summer months, as temperatures inside vehicles can rapidly increase within just minutes, becoming dangerously warm.
If you are anything over about 50 degrees in weather, you know, your car will heat up very rapidly, and certainly in the summer, it can be life-threatening. Animals don't sweat like we do, except for some minor sweating that they do through the foot pads of their feet. They cool off by panting. But if the air around them is not cooler than their own body temperature, then panting doesn't work.
Leaving a pet in a hot car can have dire consequences for both the animal and its owner. According to the Animal Legal and Historical Center, currently 14 states around the country have made it illegal to leave a pet in a locked car in extreme conditions. Although North Carolina is not on that list of states, the General Assembly has made strides to protect pets from the summer heat as well. General Statute 14363.3 allows rescue workers to retrieve a pet from a vehicle under harsh or extreme weather conditions at the expense of the owner. Owners in violation of the statute can be charged with a Class 1 misdemeanor, which can result in a fine and up to 60 days in jail. Animal cruelty charges can also be added. Ziegler also says it's important for owners to recognize abnormal behaviors after a long period of heat exposure in their pets, which can be a strong nonverbal communicator of a more serious condition.
There are some factors that can predispose dogs and other pets to heat stroke. If they are elderly, if they're overweight, if they are the smush-nosed breeds like the bulldogs and the pugs, because they don't exchange air as well, so they tend to heat up faster.
While the summer sun is yet shining, pets are also susceptible to painful conditions while walking on concrete or asphalt, as the padding on their feet is also sensitive to high temperatures. If you notice symptoms in your pet, such as excessive panting or difficulty breathing, and increased heart and respiratory rate, difficulty walking, and weakness, your pet may be suffering from a heat-related disorder. To treat a pet with high exposure to heat, remove the pet from the car and get them into air conditioning right away. Apply cool water, not ice, to the animals and contact a veterinarian as soon as possible. If you'd like to find out more on this story and the safety of your pet, you can find this story on our website, chapelboro.com. A lot of lost animals in our community. It happens every year right after July 4th. We'll have that story coming up for you next on WCHL. It's 7:16. Time now for traffic and weather together. And this traffic report is brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace.
Thank you very much, Ron. Still not too bad out on the roadways right now. 15501 northbound, seeing some minor delays between Ephesus Church Road and Garrett Road through the I-40 intersection. We're seeing a slight delay on 15501 between Garrett Road and I-40 as well. That's in the southbound lane. Northbound on 15501 a little bit further south. Again, this is northbound between NC-54 and Estes Drive, seeing just a minor delay. No accidents, no additional delays. Really smooth out there this morning, it looks like. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Call us at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Really smooth. That's ironic because that's the way I would describe you.
You got a smooth rider.
Well, what I was thinking is, it's a hot one. Like 7 inches from the midday sun.
Nice.
And smooth.
I think it was Cool Rider, too. I got that wrong, but that's all right.
Whatever.
We'll switch it up.
Can't you feel the heat coming off the street?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
Cruisers Convenience Marketplace serves the best-tasting fountain drinks in town. If you're out riding around later on in the day and you're really hot, stop in and get one of these. They're great. Made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees, guaranteed to taste great. And even if you get the big 32-ouncer, it's only 79 cents at Cruisers. Good to go. Now, your Chapel Hill Carborough weather. 68 degrees right now, partly sunny, scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. 30% chance of rain today. High today in the low 90s again, muggy. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms in our forecast. Overnight low 70, 40% chance of rain. Now, tomorrow, a bigger chance of rain. Cloudy all day, numerous showers and thunderstorms, mainly in the afternoon, and maybe some heavy rainfall tomorrow afternoon as well. A 60% chance of rain, high tomorrow in the upper 80s. Also, 60% chance of rain tomorrow night. Again, maybe some heavy rain, overnight low in the upper 60s. And on Friday, still mostly cloudy, 40% chance of rain, mainly in the morning on Friday, and our high temperature in the upper 80s. We're talking about some really warm, muggy weather over the next 3 days.
Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
WCHL News Time, 7:19. In the week following the 4th of July, you're bound to see neighborhood flyers advertising lost cats and dogs who ran away because of loud fireworks. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more on what you can do if your pet is missing and how you can prevent them from running away in the future.
We worry a lot about the 4th of July and the sort of pyrotechnical celebration, if you will, the fireworks, because they do often cause animals to not just become fearful, but to flee.
That's Orange County Animal Services Director Bob Morato. He says that if you lost a pet this week, you need to do a number of things simultaneously and right away.
One of those things is that they really need to saturate their immediate environment. That is to say, if I lose my cat in my neighborhood, I need to get out in my neighborhood. I need to knock on doors. There's probably ultimately no substitute for a flyer with a photograph of my cat and contact information.
Morato adds that you should also advertise your lost pet on Craigslist and check the Orange County Animal Services page regularly for recovered pets. According to Morato, the recovery rate for dogs in Orange County is around 35%, and for cats, it's only 5%. People tend to look more for lost dogs than lost cats, and they tend to equip dogs with ID tags more than cats, too. Morato says that's something that cat owners need to change.
It is a dangerous world out there for cats, whether the dangers be human-driven, as in vehicular accidents, or some of nature's own perils. We hear more and more about coyotes in our area, and I think that we have it on good wisdom or good knowledge from people who work in the world of wildlife that cats increasingly are becoming part of the coyote food chain in areas where there are lots of people.
He says that pet owners should make sure that all their animals are tagged or microchipped and confined in some way, even when they're enjoying the outdoors. That's possible even with cats. Many feline owners are using enclosures made of netting. Orange County Animal Services offers to microchip your pet for a fee of $25. For more information, you can call 919-942-7387. You can find a link to the Orange County Animal Services Microchip Services brochure in this story on our website, chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
News around town this morning, UNC medical researchers have achieved a breakthrough in the treatment of dangerous blood clots, a development that could improve health care for hundreds of thousands of Americans. Maria Ailman is the first author of the study, which appeared earlier this month in the Journal of Clinical Investigation. The study found that the enzyme factor 13 affects the number of red blood cells trapped in a clot, and eliminating that factor reduces the number of red blood cells, thus reducing the size of the clot. That could be a major breakthrough for the treatment of deep vein thrombosis and pulmonary embolism, which together affect about 500,000 Americans each year and kill between 60,000 and 100,000 people. WCHL has all the details on that story and other news around town stories on our website, chapelboro.com. 7:22, time now for championship sports. The Carolina men's soccer program is making moves during the offseason in an effort to fortify recruiting efforts. Earlier this week, the Tar Heels and head coach Carlos Zamuano hired Jason O'Keefe as an assistant coach. This is exciting news. WCHL's Matt Oakes tells you why.
O'Keefe joins the Carolina soccer team after spending the last four seasons at St. Louis University as an assistant coach and recruiting coordinator. O'Keefe should provide an added boost in the recruiting department, his primary responsibility for the Tar Heels. He's coached or recruited 32 players that have been drafted and played professionally in the United States and abroad. O'Keefe was named the National Soccer Coaches Association of America Mid-Atlantic Region Assistant Coach of the Year at the conclusion of the 2012 season. He guided the Billikens to an Atlantic 10 Conference Tournament title and a number 8 overall seed in the NCAA tournament. The man, who began his prolific coaching career inside the ACC at Wake Forest in 2003 and graduated from Greensboro College in 1997 with a degree in history and secondary education, says he's, quote, honored and humbled to join an institution like North Carolina that strives for the best both academically and on the playing field. There's been one consistent theme to O'Keefe throughout his career. That's winning. In addition to his recent success at St. Louis, he won an ACC regular season championship with the Demon Deacons in 2004 and guided the Cincinnati Bearcats to a Big East crown in 2006. The Tar Heels kick off their 2014 campaign August 29th by hosting the Carolina Nike Classic and welcoming West Coast foes California and UCLA to Chapel Hill. By all outside appearances, it looks like an impressive hire for UNC, which struggled to find the back of the net a season ago. If O'Keefe is able to attract some more offensive talent to Chapel Hill to go along with an already formidable defense, it will be a mission accomplished. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Just curious if O'Keefe talked with Holden Thorpe about life in Chapel Hill. That's where Holden Thorpe is, provost at St. Louis University. The basketball team at North Carolina State has added West Virginia transfer Terry Henderson. Henderson is actually a native of Raleigh. He was listed on North Carolina State's roster for the first time yesterday, and Coach Mark Gottfried had said that Henderson can be an impact guy. That's a quote. Henderson has to sit out this coming season due to NCAA transfer rules and will have two seasons of eligibility beginning the next season. Henderson's a three-point shooting specialist who averaged 11.7 points a game in 28 games last season for the Mountaineers. He made 39% of his threes, that's pretty good, during his two seasons at West Virginia and appears poised to take over on the wing for redshirt senior Ralston Turner next year. Gottfried says you can always find a place in your team for guys who can make shots. The Charlotte Hornets are turning to a pair of young, inexperienced power forwards after losing Josh McRoberts in free agency. One of these guys, very familiar name. McRoberts, a former Duke player, was the one player coach Steve Clifford said the team could not afford to lose this offseason. Well, he's headed out the door. The Miami Heat announced on Monday they intend to sign McRoberts when the NBA's moratorium on deals being formally struck ends tomorrow. Second-year player Cody Zeller, Tyler Zeller's brother, is expected to take McRoberts' spot in the starting lineup with Noah Vonleh, the ninth overall pick in last month's draft, likely to see playing time. Zeller played in 82 games with three starts as a rookie, but says he's ready to take on a more prominent role now. Zeller says, it'll definitely be different, but I'm looking forward to. And what will happen when with the Hornets and P.J. Hairston, who is now going to be a part of that team? We don't know, but we'll follow it. 7:26 at WCHL. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. And Art Chansky coming up right here on WCHL.
AT&T asks, are you that guy? That guy who not only paints his face to cheer on his team, but then paints his entire torso? Well, you don't have to be that guy to prove your fanhood. Switch to AT&T and follow your favorite team like never before. It's much better than perusing the hardware store for this season's color palette of belly paints. You have the speed to get scores, stats, and highlights fast with AT&T. Rethink possible.
Visit att.com or store for details.
At Cruisers Convenience Marketplace Headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee, but we need to clarify a few points. Cruisers brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase and resale by other coffee shops. Though Cruisers sells coffee shop quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste rate guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great-tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruisers. Good to go.
Weaver Street Realty has been in business on Main Street in Carrboro for 30 years and supports numerous local causes and nonprofits. Three of Weaver Street's agents, Gary Phillips, Jay Parker, and Don Basnight, are auctioneers and conduct charity auctions throughout the year. They call them at the Cornucopia House, Carrboro Art Center, the North Carolina Botanical Garden, Compass Center for Women and Families, Lerner Jewish Center, Ducks Unlimited, and the Chapel Hill Garden Club, among others. Don, Jay, and Gary of Weaver Street Realty care about our community.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Juergen's Top Notch Automotive. It's 50% off, a $70 value for top service oil change and tire rotation available today for only $35. With today's deal, you also receive a new oil filter, a top off of all your fluids, and a check of your belts, hoses, and tire pressure. Don't miss this chance to get automotive service from knowledgeable employees and mechanics who care. Your car will thank you for it. It's 50% off from Juergen's Top Notch Automotive, and it's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
Aaron Keck is on your radio this afternoon from 3 to 5 with the afternoon news on WCHL. That's followed by the evening news. Aaron has all kinds of interesting interviews with things that are happening around the community, people who are making it happen. All the movers and shakers appear on the Aaron Keck afternoon extravaganza right here on WCHL. You'll certainly want to listen at the end of the day to find out what's happening right here on WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And Aaron Keck is your host for both the afternoon and the evening news right here on WCHL. 7:29, a really muggy day on the way for today. 30% chance of rain, maybe even a thunderstorm in the afternoon. Our high today in the low 90s. Nothing really unusual about that forecast. Let's go ahead and check the whole thing here. It is 68 degrees right now. Look for a high today of about 93. Partly sunny skies, scattered showers and thunderstorms, 30% chance of rain. Now, tonight, we're looking at a 40% chance of rain with a low around 70 degrees, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Tomorrow, cloudy skies, numerous showers, thunderstorms, mainly in the afternoon. Some thunderstorms may produce some heavy rainfall in the afternoon tomorrow. High tomorrow in the upper 80s, chance of rain is 60%. Tomorrow night, also 60% chance of rain with a low in the upper 60s. So, a couple of really muggy days here and a big chance of rain. Even on Friday, we'll have a chance of rain, although it'll be earlier in the day. Grimble Jewelers is the place to go if you're looking for an engagement ring You want to pop the question? Well, go see Berkeley Grimble first. Grimble Jewelers is always there for you. It's Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler in the Village Plaza, right next to Whole Foods, so no way you can miss it. Dickie's Barbecue Pit is the place to go on the Chapel Hill side of Durham, next to New Hope Commons. You can eat in, you can call ahead for takeout, order in advance, or arrange for catering at dickies.com. Dickie's Barbecue Pit. 7:30 at WCHL. Coming up, another update on the early voting going on right now in Orange County. That is on the way next.
Chapelboro.com is more of what you live here for. If it's happening where you live, you can find it on 97.9 FM. WCHL's website, Chapelboro.com.
Israel attacks Hamas targets again.
Israeli missiles rained down on Gaza in a night of deadly airstrikes. Israel's government says it's responding to rocket attacks by terrorists and trying to stop them by targeting command centers and rocket launches by Hamas, the militant group that governs the Gaza Strip.
CBS's Holly Williams is in Tel Aviv. As for casualties,
several Hamas operatives have been killed, but civilians have also been caught up in the bombardment. Palestinian doctors claim more than two dozen people died yesterday, several of them children.
Now reports that Israel's navy's hitting Gaza. A Hamas rocket was intercepted over Tel Aviv as a wedding was taking place in a nearby town. Guests screamed when the explosion went off, and when a second rocket flew over, the bride and groom ran down the aisle. CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
7:32, it is 68 degrees in Chapel Hill. I'm Ryan Stutz at WCHL. Orange County Sheriff candidate Charles Blackwood says low voter turnout is his biggest concern as the July 15th runoff election approaches and early voting continues each day. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has more on this story.
With a second primary less than a week away, Orange County Sheriff candidate Charles Blackwood said he's worried about low voter turnout.
We had a very large concern that if the numbers dropped and they weren't proportional to the vote, that we'd be, you know, beat. And we've heard the saying all through this election that good people lose in runoffs. So it's just a tremendous sense of urgency in this go-round.
In May's Democratic primary, Blackwood finished first out of six candidates. He received 30% of the vote, but 40% was needed to avoid a runoff. Second-place finisher David Caldwell requested the runoff after final totals showed he came in just 64 votes shy of taking the lead. Now Blackwood says his plan headed into the July primary is to meet and talk with as many voters as possible. He's also been looking to the other four candidates for support. Since May, third-place finisher and former colleague Larry Fawcett has endorsed Blackwood, as has longtime incumbent Sheriff Lindy Pendergrass. Orange County voters cast slightly more than 5,700 ballots in the early voting period leading up to the May primary. Though turnout is expected to be substantially lower for the second primary, Blackwood said he's encouraged that approximately 500 people have cast ballots so far.
You know, I'm in it for the Super Bowl, not for one game. So you have to look at the early voting every day as a game. And you win each of those games every day, and then you win the Super Bowl.
With no Republican candidates running in November, next week's primary will likely decide the race. We'll hear from challenger David Caldwell tomorrow. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
If you're interested in early voting, only the Board of Elections headquarters in Hillsboro is taking votes in the early voting process. Because of the historically low turnout for runoffs, all 44 precincts around Orange County will be open on Election Day, July 15th. But there's only one place you can go to vote early now. That is the Orange County Board of Elections at 208 South Cameron Street in Hillsboro, right next to Orange County Financial Services. The polls open each day this week at 9 a.m. and will be open until 5 in the afternoon, and also on Saturday from 9 to 1. Election Day itself is Tuesday, July 15th. All the polls open that day from 6:30 in the morning until 7:30 at night. Early voting numbers get posted daily by about 9 a.m. Remember a Carolina football player by the name of Devin Ramsey? Really kind of a hard luck story. He had a lot of potential, but a problem with an injury that really set him back. A former UNC football player, Ramsey, will testify today during a U.S. Senate committee hearing, which is meant to check on the well-being of college athletes. Now, the News and Observer is reporting that Ramsey, a fullback who graduated from UNC in 2012, is scheduled to testify along with a former Florida State football player and Rhodes Scholar Myron Roll, NCAA President Mark Emmert, civil rights historian and journalist Taylor Branch, and Richard Southall, who previously led the College Sports Research Institute at UNC and now works at the University of South Carolina. Southall is also listed in former UNC academic advisor Mary Willingham's research that led to the most recent chapter of the academic scandal at the university. Ramsey was declared ineligible by the NCAA for the 2010 season after they said he received improper financial benefits from agents and improper help from a tutor. However, further investigation revealed that Ramsey did not get any financial benefits, and he only received help on a draft of a paper in which he was given suggestions on how to improve areas of the work. He returned to the football field the next season, but only for one game. In that one game, he suffered a torn ACL and MCL in his left knee in the season-opening win over James Madison. Ramsey was then given an additional year of eligibility by the NCAA in 2012, but the knee injury turned out to be career-ending. Mary Willingham was in Washington, D.C. last week to speak with members of Congress. However, she told WCHL that she did not have any hearings scheduled yet, and she does not appear on any witness list at this time. The U.S. Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation will start its hearing at 2:30 this afternoon. If you'd like to find out more on the hearing, you can read the story on our website at chapelboro.com, and we'll have more of this story coming up later on in the day in the afternoon and evening news with Aaron Keck on WCHL. House and Senate budget leaders made a little progress over teacher pay and North Carolina lottery advertising during a public negotiation session yesterday. The Senate offered Tuesday to remove a provision in its state government spending plan requiring teachers to give up their tenure to receive proposed average pay raises of more than 11%. House Republicans have offered average raises of 5%. A House budget writer says the Senate plan still eliminates funding for thousands of teacher assistants who help pay for higher raises. The two chambers also failed a recent agreement on lottery ads. The House plan doubles the cap on advertising expenses, but still keeps restrictions on ad content. It would only generate about $30 million, they say, in extra revenue. The two sides are expected to meet again today. Well, there's good news from the coast. Officials in the Cape Fear region say Hurricane Arthur did a little to slow visitors to the region despite making landfall just before the 4th of July holiday weekend. The Star News of Wilmington reports Arthur passed through the Wilmington area last Thursday night, bringing bands of heavy rain and top winds of up to 70 miles per hour. But by the morning of Independence Day, on Friday, the storm was gone and visitors were headed back to the beaches. Ocean Isle Beach Mayor Debbie Smith said the town had a beautiful weekend and that the holiday was as busy as it normally is. Smith said the weekend was probably busier than they expected because conditions improved greatly after the storm. Meanwhile, one charter boat operator says media coverage of Arthur brought his business to a standstill. A judge will hold a hearing today out in Colorado on whether the Boulder County Clerk can continue issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. County Clerk Hillary Hall has issued some 100 marriage licenses since a federal appeal court in Denver overturned Utah's gay marriage ban last month. But the ruling was put on hold. Attorney General John Southers says Colorado's 2006 gay marriage ban remains on the books for now. News around town this morning. A UNC faculty member is leading a series of excavations in Israel that just uncovered historically significant mosaics in a 1,500-year-old synagogue. Jody Magnus teaches early Judaism in the College of Arts and Sciences in Carolina. She's leading this dig in the village of Hukwak in coordination with four other universities and the Israel Antiques Authority. The dig has been ongoing since 2012 and has uncovered three long-forgotten mosaics. This most recent discovery is significant because the mosaic depicts a story not from the Bible, making it the first time a non-biblical story has been found decorating any ancient synagogue. Because there's no biblical reference, Magnus says it's not clear exactly what the mosaic depicts, but it includes a picture of elephants dressed for battle, and Magnus says that may refer to Alexander the Great. Excavations on the site are scheduled to continue this summer and next summer. WCHL News Time, 7:39. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Rand Northam about what's happening at our website. And also, Raleigh Mann checks in with his opinion on the Ephesus Fordham redevelopment plan.
The word is spreading fast about Pita Grill, Chapel Hill's great new restaurant offering authentic, made-from-scratch Mediterranean cuisine. Locally and family-owned, Pita Grill's Egyptian influence creates a culinary experience you will crave again and again. Wraps and kebabs, heroes and pitas, salads and falafels, seasonal food, and more. Located in Timberline Shopping Center on Weaver Dairy Road, Pita Grill is perfect for lunch or dinner and is open 7 days a week. Visit them online at pitagrill.us or stop by for a taste you won't forget.
With health care reform, the Affordable Care Act, and insurance mandates in the news, it's no wonder if you're confused. Come back to health care that starts with you, a place you can trust. UNC Family Medicine. We've been providing high-quality primary care to the community for over 45 years. Come see us. Make your appointment now at uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine, caring for the course of your life.
Hey, this is Dan Patrick from my friends at the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group. The group recently opened up a new restaurant. It's called Page Road Grill. Great place to meet friends in the middle of the triangle. They got fantastic southern cuisine. They got 20 beers on tap, plenty of parking, but they also offer a full catering menu. And they can handle any and all of your catering needs. They can do a small office event or cocktail party, or they can go big. They've actually catered events for over 1,000 folks. They can provide lunch and dinner buffets with feature menu selections from their award-winning restaurants. Mez, Squids, 411 West, 518 West, or Spanky's. They can also do box breakfasts or lunches or elegant dinner parties. And, of course, they offer an incredible selection of hors d'oeuvres and appetizers that will make any gathering a culinary success. There's only one problem they need to address. They don't go out of state, so they can't deliver to my man cave here. PageRoadGrill.com or click on catering. That's PageRoadGrill.com. PageRoadGrill.com.
All right, today's commentary on the way next. Right now, 7:42 at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, Rand Northam has walked into the studio this morning and ran in and out, in and out, in and out. Come on. You're a veritable hubbub of activity, a flurry, like the Tasmanian devil, just bubbling around and around and around and around.
That's right. Blah, 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 blah. Isn't that what he said?
You never stop.
That's right.
You're always in here in the morning, and you know, I know that it's really busy, but my goodness, no wonder you're so thin and svelte.
Well, I haven't been able to run in the last week or so.
I know.
Tweaked my knee, and so I've been sitting on the couch a lot more and probably putting some of the pounds back on that I have lost over the last month or so, but
if you'd
like, right, I'll get back there.
If you'd like to consult on that, I'm an expert.
At sitting on the couch?
Yeah.
Putting on pounds?
Yeah. Some of it happens naturally with age as your metabolism changes and everything.
My people will contact your people.
But yeah, I'm really good at that. So
right.
I know what I'm talking about. Trust
Appreciate
me.
That.
All right. Well, what's happening today at chapelboro.com?
Well, D.G. Martin talks about preserving the monuments of a controversial past. Of course, there's been a lot of talk in the UNC system right now with Saunders Hall and wanting to change the name of Saunders Hall. William C. Saunders was actually the leader of a Ku Klux Klan group in North Carolina, and that went unnoticed when naming, when giving his name, putting his name on Saunders Hall, and of course now a lot of people want his name taken off of there because they don't want to associate that with a UNC system. So that's just part of the conversation he has. He talks about a bunch of different monuments who are kind of going through the same issue as well.
As when I first heard about this, I was wondering how in the world did that get by at the time? I mean, why nobody say anything about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and I think, I mean, when that was named that way, it wasn't as controversial of an issue, I think. The Ku Klux Klan was not a, you know, no, you can never do anything with the Ku Klux Klan if you were associated, you know, that sort of thing. And now it's a very different thing now. You know,
thankfully.
The Ku Klux Klan is definitely something that is frowned upon, let's say.
Thankfully.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Also, Arts Angle talks about imagined controversies. He talks about how the UN, how UNC has now pretty much gone completely quiet about it and says it will not speak until Kenneth Weinstein is done with his investigation. And he says somebody has to say something.
Yeah.
But it looks like we're going to have to wait on that. Of course, one person who is saying something is Rashad McCants.
Well, the more Rashad McCants talks, the more he does Carolina a favor. You know,
yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of what it seems like right now. I'd like to hear the other side of the story, but
if he had any credibility, I mean, it's gone now after what he said.
$310 million plus going to Rashad McCants is what he says.
We'll have that story at the top of the hour.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
Interesting. Well, that's just a preview of what you can find on our website, chapelboro.com. It's all available with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
All right. I appreciate that.
You bet.
68 degrees, 745.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Raleigh Mann. Lots of people have already expressed their opinions on the proposed redevelopment of what we've come to call the Ephesus-Fordham area. It's an ambitious plan for 123 in-town acres encompassing 60 local businesses, a plan that could bring big box stores within our town borders and the tax revenue that comes with that. It could also destroy many of those businesses we love to patronize. Dwight Bassett, the town's economic development officer, estimates that the area could be redeveloped in the next 10 years to include up to 258,000 square feet of retail space, 280,000 square feet of hotel space, and 368,000 square feet of office space, and more than 1,000 apartments. Wow. One of the first steps in this project will be building a new road that through what's now Village Plaza on Elliott Road, where the old Plaza movie theater used to be. This road would be the main entrance to a parking deck for a large residential and commercial area developed by, guess who? Roger Perry's East Partners. You just knew that the folks who brought us Metamod and Obie's Creek might also be involved in this massive Ephesus-Fordham development, didn't you? Well, the Ephesus-Fordham plan has its supporters and its critics, and each of them makes some good points. But what's more important to me, and should be to all of us, is that the town wants to make its decision on a type of zoning rules called form-based code. It's a streamlined alternative to the micromanaging of details that have given Chapel Hill reputation for being anti-growth. That's a laugh. And has driven developers nuts. It sounds good on its face, but it leaves town residents out of the conversation and places way too much power on the town's administrators who've demonstrated their support of big projects in the past. We who are most affected by important choices made by town officials absolutely must have a voice in the process, and we should reject any decision-making system that would silence that voice. Not that most of the town council members pay much attention to what we think anyway. Fortunately, a few of them do care what we think, and I'm counting on them to speak up. This is Raleigh Mann.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. What You're Saying on the Street.
I'm Morgan Alderman. Movado.com recently named Chapel Hill the number one small city in America for education. With the recent controversies in the public school district and the university, some do not think that Chapel Hill deserves this title. We hit the streets to see what you think of education in Chapel Hill.
Maggie Sanchez, I believe that Chapel Hill and Carrboro have the potential to be exactly what this award says. I think the legislature has made it very difficult for teachers to be good, disincentivizing teachers to do their job.
Well, that's a loaded question for me because being a former educator that left the school systems. I think that all school systems are bad.
I think as I got older, I started to realize the issues that were going on within the school system, within the administration of Chapel Hill High, and I think the students caught wind of that, and then we start talking, and then when teachers are stressed out, they start talking to the class, which is not a healthy environment to be in. So in that regards, I think I disagree with the statement, but when I'm thinking about individual teachers that I've had, I feel very grateful.
James Arndt. Chapel Hill, Carrboro is an amazing community in terms of educational opportunity. I just couldn't be more impressed.
What do you think of education in Chapel Hill?
My name is Lauren Hodge. Clearly, UNC Chapel Hill is clearly an extraordinary university. I think the school system, on the other hand, is a little bit of a different situation. How ironic that this website named Chapel Hill is the best town, small town for education, and yet I know North Carolina teachers are one of the most poorly paid in the union, so I think an achievement gap that needs closing so badly if we're going to find any parity or equality in our society. People don't really like to address it that directly, but I do think it needs to be addressed.
My name is Ingrid Lemmy. I think that's a title very well deserved.
My name is Ruthie Seek. I go to Woods Charter School, and I really like the EC program there because it really helped.
Trisha Lester. It always worries me when a town or a city is voted as one of the best in America because that means more people will move there and growth becomes a little uncontrolled. And from what I understand about people who have been involved in education, Chapel Hill has some challenges, so I'm really struck that they were voted that way.
That's What You're Saying on the Street
on 97.9 FM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at igotfixed.com.
At Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace Headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee, but we need to clarify a few points. Cruiser's brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase and resale by other coffee shops. Though Cruiser sells coffee shop quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste rate guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great-tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruiser's. Good to go.
For years, the brokers at Weaver Street Realty were known as the Muddy Boots Land Team. They still call themselves that. They can read surveys. They know septics. They know wells. Whether it's an in-town lot or a 100-acre tract, they will put on their muddy boots and walk land with you through an unmatched level of expertise and service. The Weaver Street Team has earned customers for life through repeat business and referrals. They listen with compassion and act with confidence. Stop by on Main Street in Carborough or check them out at weaverstreetrealty.com.
751 at WCHL, 69 degrees in Chapel Hill. And time now for traffic and weather together. Time for traffic brought to you by the Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar.
Thank you very much, Ron. 15501 northbound between Estes Drive through the I-40 interchange up to Garrett Road, seeing some minor to moderate delays. Southbound on 15501 between Manning Drive and Columbia, seeing some delays as well. NC-54 eastbound and westbound between 15501 and I-40 might see some minor to moderate delays. Really nothing major out there right now. No accidents, no additional delays. And if you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you do that safely.
All right, Rand. Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is where you can savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients created by Executive Chef James Clark and his talented culinary team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. Now, your Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by Grimble Jewelers. It is 68 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Partly sunny, scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. 30% chance. High today in the low 90s. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Low about 70. 40% chance of rain tonight. And then tomorrow, we're looking at cloudy skies all day. 60% chance of rain, probably in the afternoon. Maybe some heavy rainfall as well. Maybe a little storming activity tomorrow. Grimble Jewelers is the place to go for your new engagement ring or that custom piece you've been dreaming of for years. Grimble's is always there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler, Grimble's, on Elliott Road in the Village Plaza, right next to Whole Foods. Ladies and gentlemen, 7:53, and time now for a conversation with Dr. Wayne Pond.
Hold on,
let me get my intellectual hat on here.
Are we going to have a conversation?
Well, a brief one, at least.
We're going to... An exchange.
An exchange, yes.
All right, pal. Well, I got a toughie for you today, and I mean this is toughie in every sense of the word.
Uh-oh.
This is a word that is in your face, no holds barred, lots of edges. You ready?
Yes.
The word of the day is sycophant. Sycophant. It looks like it might be pronounced sycophant, but it is pronounced sycophant. S-Y... C-O-P-H-A-N-T. Are you with me there, Big Ron?
I thought there was an N in there between the Y and the C.
Well, not according to the wordsmith. You look it up on your machine, and I'll look it up on mine.
I'll have my people get in touch with your people. We'll have lunch to discuss it.
Yeah, that's right. Let's do lunch. Sycophant. S-Y-C-O-P-H-A-N-T.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go with the edgy definition. It's a noun, a servile, self-seeking person who flatters in an attempt to win favor. Ooh.
Perfect example.
Pretty much in your face, huh?
Perfect example. Leave it to Beaver, Eddie Haskell. My favorite character off that show.
I was thinking of Fox News, actually.
That fits, too.
It's populated with sycophants. So, not that I would, attempt to bring a one-sided dimension to this argument, right?
No, certainly not.
No, of course not. So. All right, pal, there's your word of the day. S-Y-C-O-P-H-A-N-T, sycophant, a noun, a servile, That's the tough part right there. A servile, self-seeking person who flatters in an attempt to win favor. Okay. Ron, stay away from the sycophants, no matter where you see them.
I do my best, but they're all over the place. Kind of hard sometimes.
Yeah, on that happy note, be a good boy. Talk to you in the morning.
Have a good day. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Sometime next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day, spell it, define it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. 7:55. WCHL, time now for the clean joke of the day. Please welcome to the show, Marissa Peterson. Marissa.
Hello, hello.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, all right. Had people calling me up yesterday and want to know, who is Marissa? Give me the background on her. I'm doing a new show on TV, and it's going to be very similar to Survivor. She did so well on that one. I want to get her on this one, too.
But my chance at redemption, a second chance.
Exactly, yeah. And what you got voted off the island.
Yeah.
And, you know, this one, maybe you can stay on the island as long as you want. So.
Okay, as long as I'm funny and clean.
Exactly. Well, your job is to do clean jokes, so let's see how it goes.
Okay.
What do you got?
It was 3 o'clock in the morning, and the receptionist at a posh hotel was dozing off when a little old lady came running towards her.
Uh-huh.
Screaming, "Please come quickly," she yelled. "I just saw a naked man outside my window." The receptionist immediately rushed to the old lady's room. "Where is he?" she asked. "He's over there," replied the little old lady, pointing to an apartment building opposite the hotel. The receptionist looked over and could see a man with no shirt on, moving around his apartment. "It's probably a man who's getting ready to go to bed," she said reassuringly. "And how do you know he's naked? You can only see him from the waist up." "The dresser," screamed the old lady. "Try standing on the dresser."
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Jerry Horton is Executive Director of Chatham Habitat, and Harvey Harmon is Construction Director. They're involved in a project of building a small house in Pittsboro. Here's Jerry.
Habitat's been looking for opportunities to collaborate with other community entities, and Harvey has good connections with the college, and Harvey came up with a plan of working together. A small house is an excellent way to do that. It's remarkable the difference that you see from the inside, and it can help solve a lot of problems for affordable housing. Fairly easy to build, although they are well built. You can put a lot of them in a small area and really benefit a lot more people for the land that you've got to work with.
Jerry Horton and Harvey Harmon are today's WCHL Hometown Heroes. Harvey teaches at Central Carolina Community College.
I've been teaching there for the last 17 years.
Harvey's guidance, a small group of students will actually build a small house.
8 people, high school students through seniors, about half and half women and men. It's very empowering. I mean, one of the goals of doing small houses is just to show that it's not beyond the average person's capacity. That's one of the things that helps motivate this interest in small houses, is that people are looking for ways not only to make housing more affordable, but also to say, how can I do this myself?
This small house and others like it could change the face of affordable housing efforts. Fairly soon, you'll be able to see it.
We're going
to
have some open houses where we reach out to people and get them over, see Habitat, see what we're doing, be in our parking lot, and see how well the house is built. They'll be able to see that when it's finished. We'll bring people over and show them the rooms that they've got in there and talk about the versatility of a small house.
This can be a real difference maker.
Absolutely. Habitat deals with affordable housing for the 25 to 60% median income folks. And with land prices going up, we're starting to get squeezed out of being able to serve that entire range. Looking at small houses, a much lesser cost, being able to put more, all that weighs into being able to absolutely serve the low end of the 25 to 60% median income. And it can be very affordable. I mean, to some people, this is a car payment, and if we can turn that into a house payment, it all of a sudden attracts a lot more people.
If you'd like to volunteer and lend your help to Habitat for Humanity,
there are lots of opportunities to get involved other than building. We've got a lot of volunteers that work in the restores, in the office, help fundraise, promote, and that's Chatham County, that's Orange County, that's Durham County, Wake County. Any Habitat has lots of opportunities.
The small house is visible at 467 West Street in downtown Pittsboro. Go to
chathamhabitat.org. Jerry Horton and Harvey Harmon, today's WCHL Hometown Heroes.
Performance Automall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Automall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Automall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
It's 8 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill, Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Children entering the U.S. illegally.
Deadly eastern storms.
We're just picking up parts of the house to look to see if anybody's underneath them.
Mideast turmoil.
Israel escalates a deadly Gaza offensive.
Good morning, I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. A day after calling on Congress to spend nearly $4 billion to deal with the thousands of children who've entered this country illegally, President Obama goes to Texas and will meet with one of his sharpest immigration critics. We're live with White House correspondent Peter Mayer.
In Dallas, Steve, the president will see Texas Governor Rick Perry, a strong critic of the administration's border policies. But on the trip, dominated by political fundraisers, Mr. Obama won't visit the border itself, a decision blasted by Texas Republican Senator John Cornyn.
Out of stubborn pride or whatever the reason is, then you're simply going to be ignorant.
White House spokesman Josh Earnest.
The president is well aware of exactly what's happening on the border.
Today, the Justice Department will outline plans to fast-track court hearings for children entering the U.S. illegally. The White House says most of them will face deportation. A congressional hearing on the administration's strategy is also set for today.
This is Pam Coulter. Top officials with FEMA and Customs and Border Protection will give the Senate panel more details on what's going on at the southern border.